This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing High Hopes. Smiling through.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. I mean, look, we got some stuff to talk about. I would like to quickly thank John Middleton. We'll get to it for being the voice in the wilderness that I freaking needed. But that, yo, obviously, I mean, coming up later in the pod, get excited. Nathan Miller on the pod. How about it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, our guy. And
you know, it happened already. We did it already.
So believe it or not. Yes,
it happened.
So, yeah, dude, he'll
be able to tell by the football talk when it happened on football Sunday. Sure. Yes,
he's the best, man. And
he was awesome.
Gave a lot of good answers that I think people will be fired up about per usual. And yeah, he's untouchable. Just my only fear now is that for some reason they move him, and we got egg on our face. But it's okay because he's on the pod and long time coming. And if you were in Wilmington, you know, for the curtain call
hear some cool stuff about.
Yeah,
that.
Man, it was a good time. He's a good kid, and obviously we're pulling for him.
Definitely a kid. I feel old.
Yeah.
In these situations. He was great. Great talker. Like I won't name names. We've had some prospect type guys on that in the past that have been less good talkers. Spencer Howard, I'm talking about you. We've had some people on who've been less good at talking in the past. He is really, really a great talker.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. There's
and
really
listen,
cool stuff coming.
He has real pressure on him. I mean, not only from this podcast, but also like actual, like real pressure.
Yeah. We joke about it being from us, which it kind of is, but it's also, yeah, like you're the future of the franchise.
Basically. The simple, I mean, him, Crawford, and Painter
are the future. They're like the future of the franchise.
They are the
Mount
the
Rushmore.
Key cogs of if this window is going to stay
Mount
open
Rushmore
or not.
Mount Rushmore of Phillies prospects right now.
Well, right now. Yeah. Who's number four?
Is it Cabba?
It's probably Cabba.
Probably Cabba, right?
It's probably Cabba.
Yeah.
Until we get to my perfect deadline. Or perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect
we
off
got
season.
2.0 coming. We'll get
yeah.
to that
yeah.
later. We'll get to that later.
And all yes, right. I know it's 2.0. And I know that it's like, well, you only have one perfect off season.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
I just want to know if Jack can truly commit to the bit and give us a perfect off season every single pod until moves have been made. Because
sure.
That's what I'm expecting. I'm not going to lie to you.
I know.
If it's a bit, it's a bit. I'm just saying.
I thought I committed to it last year, and then I tailed
you
off.
You didn't. Yeah, yes. I think you did like two or three, and then it was just like done. It was over. So,
and given that we needed stuff to talk about, probably would have been a better idea.
Considering every pod, I think we had like five straight. Well, this is boring part two, part more. We could have used it.
No, I know. So, it's early, but we're delivering. There's no one better at starting some things than me.
It's true.
I will start a lot.
You'll start a lot. They might not all finish.
I still haven't finished a book in a while.
No.
I'll start books.
I read so many books.
I always make it about... I get a good three quarters of the way.
Dude, I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. I've read two books in the last week.
Ugh,
I know. God, it's been great. All right.
What about?
What are the books about?
Yeah. What are your
one was
about?
Called The Housemaid by Freda McFadden. It's like a murder mystery. They're both murder mysteries this time. So pretty good. Pretty entertaining book. If you're looking for an entertaining read, it's a good one.
This Alter Book Club?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I got so many books. It's insane. All I do is read. It's great. I'm reading right now.
A nice shiver down the spine.
Look at this. Look at this. Oh. Bang. Right there. My Kindle on my phone.
Yeah. Well, again, that doesn't count as reading.
Why not? Of course it does. There's talk about this. Yeah. All right. We're moving on.
There's no ink under the fingers.
Yes. Okay. Mr. Old School over there. Yes. All right. Let's get to our guy. Like, seriously, we talked about it after the press conference with Dombrowski.
Yes.
And it's
the one saving grace.
I think it's the most upset we've ever been with Dave, at least, you know, since he's gotten here and become our guy.
Sure.
We were upset with it. We were not happy. You kept saying, both of us kept saying some version of, I hope this is not how the organization feels. This can't be the messaging in the organization. Well, thank God it's not. We're in good shape there. John, I know John Middleton, big time listener of the pod, you know, long time listener. John, can I just, from the bottom of my soul, man, thank you. Like, I love you. I really actually love you. So for those who haven't seen it, probably a lot of people at this point, just came out this morning an article on The
Athletic. Nothing else going on this day.
That's right. So people have already probably dove in with Middleton, an interview with Middleton. Yeah, I know. You're right. Wow. Good point. Okay. Really good
How
point.
Could you miss it?
if there's a day to miss it. You're right.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for, to tell you about the important things happening.
Thank you.
Today. Yes. It's exactly what I needed. Like, it is.
I will say, you're shot out of a cannon this morning.
I've been down, man.
I know.
I've been looking for a light at the end of the wilderness. Yes. With the team that I love.
Yes.
John Middleton gave it to me.
He did.
What a freaking hero.
He did.
So I got quotes. We'll get into it all. But your thoughts on the Middleton article that saved the world.
Yes. It's the most important article that ever came out about the Phillies.
The most important thing that'll happen today.
Yeah, it's huge. So. My first thought was like, literally, press conferences, they just exist to see if you'll stumble. There's almost no value out of press conferences.
Don't say that. It's our job.
I know. It's
they're a pretty important part of what we do.
It's so funny to me how wrapped up we get about press conferences, and ultimately not much ends up coming out from them. But yeah, like, I felt so similar, and just the whole beginning of it, again, like, great job by Gelb, but the beginning of it where he just says, I walked in and Dave was mad too, and we're all mad, and like, finally someone from the organization is saying, we're not happy with how last season went.
We feel how you feel. Don't worry.
Thank the Lord that they feel that way. And I loved how mad he got about That's Baseball. Because it can be infuriating when it's the excuse for everything.
And it was the go-to excuse in that press conference, was essentially, That's Baseball.
They got hot. What do you want us to do? Blah, 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 blah. And he just said no. And that's all I wanted. And that's genuinely what I thought was going on, was that there's no way Middleton agreed with what they said at the press conference.
Yeah, I think 100%. You brought up that exact point on that pod.
So him coming out, saying what he said, talking about how aggressive they're going to be, in making real changes, finally, and I think we said this a lot as well, admitting that we have to start having tough conversations about some of the players in this team who have been around for a little bit. You're going to have to shake it up. You have to shake it up. I keep going back to the Gillick quote in 06 about how they had reached basically the point of, with that team, as about as far as they could go. And this team hasn't won. Now, that team and this team are totally different. This team has had much more success. But you have to change the chemistry up. You have to change the chemistry up at some point. You can't just keep running it back. And I like that it seems like they are in position to say, we're going to have tough conversations this offseason. That's really, really important. And I love the stuff about having to bring in new investors to help.
To spend more money.
You know.
Broader base.
Yes. And, you know, obviously not making it all attached to Middleton so he doesn't have to lose all the money is important as well. But I just, the idea of what they're doing in Clearwater, the idea of revamping the ballpark, and I think it has more to do with outside the ballpark than inside the ballpark. I'm sure they have to do things inside, but I think they want to make the outside area, you know, more, have more stuff going on out there. But it was an invigorating kind of article that makes you, I'm now geeked up about the offseason. I can't wait to see what they do. And if it falls flat, that'd be really disappointing. But I don't think it will. And I think we're going to get real change this offseason, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I no longer, like last pod we talked about, oh, like, man, doing the perfect offseason kind of made me depressed because I'm like, what are they going to do? You know, and hearing Middleton talk like that, like they're going to do something. And it's not just a change in chemistry or in players that he talks about. He talks about a change in philosophy, like the stuff where he's like,
the hitting stuff.
He's like, we got guys with chains. Guess what? They have to stop. Like, it has to change. Like, and I know it's not as easy. We've talked about this with Castellanos and stuff. It's not as easy to be like, stop chasing and have him chase. But that Middleton is making an organizational focus to not just be like, well, he's 31 years old. That's who he is as a hitter. Like, screw that. Like, Middleton saying, no, that is absolutely not the case. Roy Halladay, Mike Schmidt, you know, he tells the stories about
Schwarber.
You know, but he tells the stories about Roy Halladay's dad telling him how much he changed throughout his career, about Mike Schmidt being like, I had three different swings throughout my career. It's like, if those guys can do it, Trey Turner can certainly do it. And it felt like there was one quote in there that felt like it was like directly at Trey Turner, like where it's like, bro, like you have to be willing to change. And these guys, and it goes to the Turner quote after where he's like, yeah, you know, I know we're not supposed to chase, but you get out there and you just want to swing. Essentially is what he said. And it's like, I'm happy that type of stuff is not going to be acceptable. Like it, at least according to John Middleton, like that's not acceptable. And it can't be,
Well, I like that they're trying a new strategy of, instead of suggesting, telling.
Force them. They're telling. Yeah. They're like, this is going
to
happen.
Yeah. No, it's important going from suggesting to being like, hey, you're doing this now. Yeah, so
yeah. Well, I think they, you know what though? I think it has been part of, and it's to the Rob Thompson thing. And I think Rob has a lot of good qualities, but I think one of the things that has bit him in the butt has been a little too much trust of veterans and saying like, well, they'll get there. The Kevin Long, yeah, back at the baseball card, the whole thing. It's like, you know what? We're going to force you to get there. We're going to make you get there. We're not just going to trust you to get there. And I think that's important with this group.
Yeah, I guess the one thing on top of the whole article is I do want there to, and the guys changing, that's good. I mean, I do think it's hard to tell guys to change.
It's so, like, look, you can't teach an old dog new tricks is a cliche for a reason.
Sure.
You
know? So like, I like that he's aggressive in that aspect. I'll more see it, I guess, before I really believe it. The one like other thing I also felt in reading it is he's clearly emotional. Like he's clearly emotional, which we appreciate. There has to be a threshold between aggression and not blowing the entire thing up. There is a lot of, there's still good.
Which
here.
I think that, look, he's shown that, I mean, they didn't blow it up last year after they lost here, but he's shown that I don't think he's going to go crazy.
He's not going
to
go crazy.
And look, to the point that I just made, and when we did our perfect offseason, like, they can't blow it all up. Like, it's just not feasible. Like, there are not enough moves that they can make to completely and totally change this.
Yeah. And you know, I keep going back to the trade deadline, right? And, like, we've talked about how.
Have we talked about that? Though?
Believe it or not,
were those positive conversations?
Too thrilled with it. But his comments in the article about the farm system were exactly what we talked about.
Even the years, like 20, just don't want to see that happen again.
He did not want to go through what happened in 2012 to 2018. Yeah, you know, like he's
again, we listen to the pop. We're saying, you know, it's all good.
He's very conscious of it. And he's right. I mean, he is right. And I like that, you know, obviously we are very pro Preston and Brian Barber.
No, I like that he's shouting him out.
No pressure, guys. No pressure, guys. But like he's right from that standpoint of they got to make sure that the farm system is continuing to churn out players. Now, at some point, it's also going to be, you can't hold on to everyone.
Well, yeah, at a certain point, you have too many. You know, you have to trade. That's again, great teams develop guys. Some of them end up playing for the team. Some of them don't.
Yeah. And I just continue to have this feeling with him that, and it's a really good spot to be in. He just really wants to build this team into a freaking juggernaut.
Yeah.
And I really, again, we've talked about this. I hope he gets the opportunity to have a parade down Broad Street and like get celebrated and
for this
kind of stuff, because
he wants to win desperately.
He does. I mean, he kind of, again, like, he can host this podcast.
Dude, he is like us. That's it. Literally. It feels like us. It feels like, I honestly believe, I really do, and I don't think there's another owner in sports that I would say this about. I think John, and I don't know them all, I'm sure there's another one, but like that I know of, like I don't think there's another owner who wants to win as much as we do as John Middleton. Like, I actually think he might want to win more than I do. And I don't know that that's possible, but I think he might. I think he might.
Every single time he talks, I feel like he's talking to us and our listeners. I really do. Like, I do. Yeah, I'm worried about the window. Gotta keep the window open. You know, we don't want to turn all our prospects. Have you seen Justin Crawford? You see Aiden Miller? Have you seen Andrew Painter? Yeah. So I appreciate him so much from that standpoint. And I hope that my overarching feel off of the interview that he did with Gelb is I'm so happy that he was upset. And I don't think he's going to go in and blow the whole thing up. I don't think that's going to happen. But I just like that someone down there can have the feel of a fan. You don't always want owners and GMs to be fans, because fan stands for fanatics or whatever. And sometimes it can be irrational, mm-hmm. you know, like no. the fourth down decisions.
Yeah, we're very reasonable but always thinking very clearly and making rational
decisions. But having a finger on the pulse and saying this isn't good enough, it's just so refreshing, especially in a day and age in baseball where they care so much more about just having a good bottom line. And
the vast majority of owners.
And I hope it comes to fruition this offseason where they can make real moves. But I now have a feeling that we're not going to head into spring training with essentially the same team. And that's exciting because I'm just ready for some fresh blood.
I mean, listen to this quote. This is a quote directly from John Middleton. We have to be willing to think about things that maybe we weren't willing to think about in the last two offseasons.
I mean, what does that mean? That's what I can't figure out.
I think it means that we have to be willing to think about trading Alec Boehm. We have to willing to think about trading Nick Castellanos. Or we have to be willing to think about doing something we might not have done because of culture, because of chemistry, because of this, because of that, whatever. I think he's saying we just have to be open to change and be willing to make changes because this group is not working. And that's the exact point we're trying to make here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is interesting. Their first decision was to keep the whole coaching staff.
It was weird.
So they definitely think it was, they definitely still believe it was a player's issue. Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of stuff I think is just really good, really interesting. I
mean, here's another one, right? But this is another quote where he goes, some of that is we just have guys who chase too much and they have to stop. They just have to become more disciplined. It's not enough to say, well, look, is just the way the person is. The person has to change.
Yeah. It's very,
and that's strong stuff. You know, and that feels very pointed too. Like, that's one of the ones where I'm like, oh, Trey, hey, Trey, you listening, big dog? Because that's talking to these guys that he's paid $1 million to and being like, hey, man, like, it's not good enough excuse. Just be like, well, I'm a swinger. Like, no, you're not. Like, learn to be better.
I loved it.
I'm like getting so fired up.
You know, he was sitting in the owner's suite or whatever at the games being like pacing.
Oh, my God.
Had to be pacing around.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Stop swinging.
Probably yelling, what are you doing? Stop swinging. That was a ball. Like, yeah, I'm sure.
Stop chasing.
Again, I saw John here. He was in our studios or something. It was like 2 months after London, and he was still mad that they lost that second game in London. Like, he was still talking to me. He was like, yo, we should have won that one. Like, he's just... The guy is so competitive. He desperately wants to win.
The high point of the season.
I know.
The David Dahl pinch hit home run.
Yeah, well, yes. That one was probably the day before. Yes.
Yes, the David Dahl pinch hit home runs. It was a watershed moment. And then Taiwan shoved.
Taiwan shoved. Taiwan's best out of the year.
He's the best pitcher London's ever seen.
That's true.
He is. Yeah. Out of all the guys that have pitched
over there. Can he pitch all his games from London? Can we do like a simulated thing?
Him and the Jags, man.
Yeah, where
they're only participating in London.
What does that say about London?
I don't know. They love
nothing good.
Somehow the splitters split more in London. Yeah. Better gravity. Yeah. That's what it is. It's as simple as that. So
that's how that works.
Yeah, sure it is. It sure is. More aggressive gravity is in London.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good thing to read, and he's mad, and I like that he's mad, and now it's on Dave. You know, yeah. And now it wasn't great. You know, Dave was on MLB Network this morning and he said, you know, the Dodgers, they kept the same team together.
Dave, what are you doing? All right, real quick then, before we move on, because I do want to get to the Nightingale report and then we'll get to Aiden Miller. And then after that,
yeah, the perfect.
I know.
He said, you see the Dodgers the last couple of years, they got knocked out of the first round and all of a sudden they're in the World Series. Hopefully we can do the same thing.
He does realize they signed Shohei Ohtani, right? Something, you know, they signed the richest contract in the history of the sport. Let's just, you know, not forget that there.
And
that was the whole thing with the Yankees and the Dodgers, where it's like, oh, these guys just kept plugging away. It's like, well, the Yankees went out and got Juan Soto and the Dodgers went out and got Shohei Ohtani. I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Probably not.
You know?
And by the way, the Dodgers pitching staff that's on IL would be arguably the best pitching staff
in baseball. I know. All right, quick question for you, then we'll get to the Nightingale Report. But what do you make of that then? Like, what do you make of the fact that on the same day, there's an article coming out from Matt Gelb where John Middleton is saying, not good enough, blah, 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 this and that. And then Dave Dombrowski's on MLB Network the same way. And be like, we'll see what happens.
I think he's just being coy. Okay, I really do.
That's the way I would lean too, but it is weird mixed messaging.
It sure is. I think he doesn't want to tip his hand. I think he doesn't want to say we got to get rid of certain players. Mm-hmm. I think he just, and it doesn't really benefit him, say.
He's going to do it all behind the scenes.
Exactly. You know, and that's what good GMs do. It's frustrating to hear.
I think we just get used to Dave being so like open and honest with us. Well, it's almost like.
But the fact that he is changing his tune and could mean there's, you know, a lot of irons in the fire.
Moves coming, baby.
Well, I do like that the second that he was already, like, Dobrowski had already had three huge meetings.
I know. It was like, I got in the morning and he was already grilling people. It's like, what?
So are we.
He's already talked to everybody. Yeah. Dave must have been listening here and be like, ooh, I don't think I came off intense enough there.
Let me be in the meetings, but I won't report anything. I just want to know what they sound like.
I know. I swear. I won't say a thing.
I won't report anything.
I'll sign an NDA. I don't care.
I just want to know what it's like. Yeah. It has to be the most thrilling thing in the world. I mean, sure, there's pressure.
What a thrill.
Being able to be like, hey, here's what I think we should do with the future of the franchise.
And actually have those moves.
And actually be able to be the one that does it. I feel pressure when I'm building a fantasy baseball team.
I know.
Imagine doing it for real.
I can only imagine.
Oh, man. I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. But I don't really believe anything.
The pressure, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Like that. Yeah. Like I always say, but it's true. You have millions of people's hopes and dreams resting on your shoulders. It's a spot.
Yeah. But I really think it's just as simple as. There's no advantage. These guys are under contract. You know, Boehm's under contract.
If you say, oh, we'd love to get rid of Alec Boehm, how does that help you trade Alec Boehm?
Well, and you can't say we're looking for upgrades at third base and left. Right,
exactly. Yeah, you can't say it.
So it sucks. But
you could probably say
we're looking for a little bit of thump in left.
Yeah, you get away with that. I think.
Little preview, by the way, of my perfect offseason. I got a bunch of slap hitters.
Oh,
I'm going anti-power, baby.
That's what you're
gap to gap all and walks.
All fields. All right. Yep. We're going to learn to hit out of all fields.
You know who is adaptable to chase rates and it was okay chasing? My perfect offseason.
There it is.
Yeah, that's right. We're not striking out once.
I can't wait. Somehow he's trading for Luis Arraez. I don't know how.
No.
All right. Quickly before Aiden, the Bob Nightingale report comes out. Look. Nothing earth shattering, but it, you know, the first we've heard of anyone saying the Phillies are open to trading Alec Boehm, Nick Castellanos, Brandon Marsh are the three names that were in there. What'd you make?
I think that's obvious.
thanks, Bob.
I think that's obvious.
Thanks, Bob.
Castellanos has been on the market, I think, for
every
the last couple of years.
Every offseason.
I just, he's gotten to the point for me where.
I'll believe it.
He's also just too important to this team.
I don't think you're going to get anything for him that is better than what he'll give you. I agree.
So what's the point?
Boehm and Marsh, who knows? But Boehm for sure. I think there's value there as a trade.
There's value there. Starting all-star, Arsenal.
Yeah, hey, this guy's an all-star.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's an all-star. I think Boehm's the name. I just do.
Yeah, I
think, obviously, outside of signing Juan Soto.
Which is the move.
We want him to sign Juan Soto.
Official high-ups position.
I feel as if they'd probably be okay adding a left fielder and then having Marsh and Rojas in center field.
Oh, great. People will love it.
Well, as long as they're a pretty good player in left field.
People will be signed. Yeah, if it's Juan Soto, it's a different story.
And this is all...
Anthony Santander, we'll see.
Well, no, he's well. He's good. He just doesn't walk at all.
No, he's a bad fit.
But
I mean, 44
home runs. Yeah. We'll take
Switch
it.
Hitter.
I don't know anything on this. It just feels like Boehm. Like Boehm.
I agree.
And I don't think they want to just give him away. I don't think they want to just do that.
I think they want
to try to use real value. I mean, the fact that, again, he got benched in the playoffs.
Big time.
I think the crying in Kansas City drove them nuts. I think that's the move. If there's one move they make of shaking the core up, quote unquote, because I don't really know where else he'd go.
Yeah.
Like Stott's not even being mentioned, which I find interesting. Seems like they believe in obviously Stott going forward. it feels like a Bohm trade's going to happen this offseason. Yeah. So.
I would think, though, after this, or I would be surprised if something doesn't happen to the core.
They can't, yeah. At this point, if they run it back, I'd be floored.
I'd be really shocked.
The other quote I found interesting from Nightingale was about the Phillies can't believe they don't have a ring in the Bryce Harper era. And after knocking on the door the past few years, they're willing to make a huge move to change their fate. I mean,
interesting.
If that doesn't sound like
Juan Soto,
I don't know what.
I think Juan Soto. It's going to come down to where does Juan Soto want to go? Because I do think that Middleton will. Like, I don't think they're like the difference between $600 million or $575 million or $625 million or whatever. I know Soto say it'll be just about the money, but my point being that I think Middleton, if they're really all in, I think he'll meet any of those numbers, right? Like, what's the difference to John Middleton between $625 million
and the new investors?
By the way, real quick on the new investors before I forget. Who buys a baseball team and stays anonymous? Like, who? What are you doing? Who are you? What a mysterious thing to do. Like, the whole point of owning a baseball team is to, like, be out there and be like, hey, I'm an owner of this team. Look at this. I own this team. I'll come to the games. I'm an owner.
Maybe it's, like, maybe it's me. What?
This pod needs to make a little more money for that to happen.
Maybe it's me.
What a move, though, right?
Well, like, wait, listen, some people like to move in silence.
Like, weird.
Yeah.
It's good.
What if it's Lori?
I'm not ripping.
Just kidding.
I'm not ripping it. I'm just saying you agree it's a little weird, right? I don't ever remember hearing about that.
No.
Yeah.
No. A silent investor in a sports team.
In a sports team. Like, it doesn't happen very often.
No. And I'm pretty, the new owners thing, I was beyond. I was ready to do an emergency podcast. I really was.
I bet you were.
Are you kidding me? You get more money? Yeah, to go after Juan Soto, spend whatever it takes.
The, like, timing is notable.
It's 100% notable. Yeah. It's and around the same time that they want to expand the sports complex down there. So we can, and they brought in construction people. Mm-hmm. Crazy how that all works. And
it actually is kind of great.
Yeah, well, and they're building a whole new complex down in Clearwater. They brought in people that are specialized in construction and stuff like that. So yeah, it's all interesting.
It's good. I think it's a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going after a guy that wants the top dollar on the market. You're going against a guy that's worth how many billions? How many billions is Steve Cohen?
Like 20 or 18 or something.
Who needs it?
He is so much richer than all the other. I think he might be richer than, like, multiple owners combined. So,
sure. Well, guess what? Yeah, we got our guys now. So, I was fired.
Maybe Steve Cohen's the anonymous.
What if he was?
He's just trying to, you know, get as many chances.
He's trying to get Juan Soto no matter what.
Sure.
But again, there's a lot. I legitimately believe. The Phillies have a better chance of getting Juan Soto than the Yankees. I really do.
Because of Hal?
I don't think he wants to spend
money.
I don't either. Dude, they just did the weird thing with Gerrit Cole yesterday where it's like Gerrit Cole opted out, but then he opted in on the contract with the Yankees, picked it up, and then they agreed to the same contract he was already signed to.
It's so weird. Someone on Twitter said this is the best analogy I've seen for it. It's like when Costanza quit the Yankees job and then just went back in the next day to work. It's like this. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just we're back. Same thing.
Nothing changed. Yeah. I don't think he wants to pay him. I really don't. I think
that's a fair take.
The biggest thing, the Yankees,
I think the Phillies and the Mets should be considered the front runners.
I couldn't believe the odds.
Yeah.
The odds on
are the Yankees a favorite?
Well, yeah, but the Phillies were, like, behind the Nationals and the Blue Jays.
Whoa.
At like plus 3,900.
What?
I know.
Sounds like a betting opportunity.
That I would ever be a gambler.
All right.
I gotta look and see if I saw it on there. But the Phillies should not be behind a lot of this.
Yeah,
I think it's actually a Phillies Yankees or Phillies Mets Yankees.
Yeah, I think those are the top three.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Juan Soto.
Right there.
All right.
It's right there.
Someone who will be playing a teammate of Juan Soto.
Hopefully.
Soon.
As long as they don't trade him.
Let's get to it. They're not trading. No. Let's not even joke. They're not. They're just not. We're going to say they're not.
Yeah.
It's over. It's officially no. He's undrafted.
Hey, no Aiden, no high hopes.
There you go. Oh,
laying down the really gauntlet. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Don't leave after the eighth interview.
We're not going anywhere.
Unless you don't want to hear another perfect offseason from Jack. But if you want to, stay tuned. We'll get to that in a minute. But here, for the first time, I'm sure of many, new friend of the pod, Aiden Miller. And it is our distinct pleasure to welcome into the podcast. You've heard his name probably more on this podcast than every other media outlet on the planet combined times 10. He's our guy. We're super excited for him to be a part of this team moving forward, a part of this organization, and now a part of the High Hopes family. Aiden Miller on the pod. What up, man? How are you, pal?
What an intro. Hey, I appreciate
it. Oh, it's deserved, man. It's deserved. I mean, we went and freaking brought a couple hundred people to watch you play a game in Wilmington. It was pretty neat, man. And I hope it shows you how excited people are about, you know, what you're going to bring to this city and all that. So let's dive in, man. Like, just to start off the top, I mean, what's the last year plus been like for you? I mean, I'm sure for you, it feels like you were in high school like a second ago, and now you're like, you know, on prospect lists and playing for the Phillies organization and all that. What's that like to happen so quickly in such a short period of time?
It's been awesome. To be honest, I didn't really expect it to be like this. You know, so much has happened, so many good things in this the past year, and I've met so many awesome people like you guys, and I've traveled to so many cool places and learned how to do my own laundry. It's been a really cool and fun year.
Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, like what has been like the biggest adjustment for you? Because obviously, you come out of high school, you're one of the best prospects, and then all of a sudden you're facing kids who are like 23, 24. They all throw 95 plus, it seems like, and they're all spinning the baseball every which way. What would you say was the biggest adjustment that you had this year going through the minor leagues?
I think the biggest thing is playing every day. You know, when you're playing in high school, the travel ball circuit, you play maybe 3-4 times a week, and then you have 2 weeks off in between tournaments. And, you know, the minor leagues, it's 6 days a week, every single day you're out there playing 9 innings. And, you know, at first it takes a little while to get adjusted to, but, you know, once you realize once you get a set routine and, you know, you're eating the right foods, getting enough sleep and you're doing the right things, then you start to adjust pretty quickly. But yeah, no, definitely the daily grind is definitely the biggest thing.
What about the spotlight? I mean, it's one thing to be a prospect in high school and, you know, you have scouts paying attention and you're playing in these, you know, big like, you know, tournaments with other players and stuff. But it's a whole other thing when you know that you are in an organization trying to work your way up to, you know, live the dream and play in the big leagues. How much different is it? Like, does it feel bigger playing in these games? Does it feel more important in that way?
Honestly, no. And I think if you treat it like that, that's when you can start to feel a little bit of pressure. I feel like I've been in the spotlight since I was 12 years old playing on Team USA and all the big tournaments growing up. So yeah, I've gotten pretty used to it. And I think that's been a big help to me getting adjusted to pro ball. But, you know, especially in a city like Philly where everybody's rooting for you, you know, the fans are incredible. There's so many of you guys. And I think if you treat it like that and just treat it like they just want to see you do well, then it's a really cool thing.
Dude, are you jonesing to be a part of Red October off of that? I mean, what's it like watching from afar? And then, I mean, kind of realizing you could be there this year if things go well. If not this year, I mean, we're big 2026 Phils guys, so don't you worry.
Like, Jack's been talking about the 2026 Phils. I'm not kidding for like 6 years on this podcast.
Yeah, already my favorite team. But are you jonesing for like Red October and feeling what CBP is like?
Dude, I can't wait. It's incredible. I mean, growing up a Rays fan, I went to Rays playoff games, and
oh, I'm so sorry, buddy.
That's tough, man. tough, man. Jeez, who grows up a Rays fan?
Yeah, like, come on, man. What are we doing?
You know what's funny is, Aiden, you're hitting on another bit. For a long time here, we were like, we're actually going to be a Rays podcast because they're so smart and they run so well and all that stuff. But man, I didn't actually think they were actual Rays fans. What a crazy thing.
Not many of us, but no, but I mean, seeing the Philly fan base in those playoff games, and when I went to go there sign in 2023, it was a regular season game. I think they're playing the Padres, and I was like, man, this is just different. This fan base just gets it, and they love baseball here. And I think I had goosebumps the entire game, so it was really cool seeing that and getting to experience that. And I just can't wait to see what it's like in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's
there's nothing like it.
There's really nothing like it.
Honestly,
now this year is brutal. You know, we'll fight our way through it. It was just a bad year. We're already on in 2025 and eventually 2026. But I guess obviously there's people that listen to our podcast. There's us that know about Aiden Miller. But for like the general fan out there, that like, what is Philadelphia getting in Aiden Miller?
Man, I say the biggest thing is they're getting a gamer, somebody who loves playing, somebody who's a winner and has a knack for that spotlight. And I've always played to win, and I just love being out there on the field. And you know, that's what I'm all about. I love baseball. It's all I think about. You know, I live, eat, sleep baseball. So Philly's getting a gamer and a guy who loves Philly, and can't wait to experience it.
What was the draft process like? Because listen, I did have one guy from the Cubs email me in 2012, and it was a flex. Yeah, that's all I got. So I don't. Me and you did not share the same kind of draft experience. Again, you being on Team USA at 12 years old, but what was the draft process kind of like? What kind of a grind is it? And like, were you just excited for it to be over? Because it seems like you get to interview with these teams all the time. What was the draft process kind of like?
It was really fun, but I'll say I'm glad I'll never have to go through it again. you know, the whole injury my senior year of high school kind of threw everything off. So I was super excited for the draft process, playing my high school senior year. And then my first game my senior year, I broke my hamate bone. So I kind of had it all taken away from me. So it was a lot of, you know, questions and, you know, what my future would look like if I was going to go to college or sign later in the draft. And, you know, I think I was healthy around late May, June. So I started doing some draft workouts and, you know, ultimately showed teams that I was healthy and I was ready to go. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm the same guy I was 4 months ago. You know, a broken hand, it's not going to change anything. So it was crazy, though. I mean, there was a lot of talks about me going higher than I did. And
Jack couldn't believe that you were falling to us. It was like I can't even tell you the excitement.
Well, it was awesome. I mean, I have not many people know this, but I didn't even talk to Philly at all. I didn't have any interviews or workouts with Philly.
Wow.
So it was a surprise to my agent and me on draft night when they called, and I was super excited. You know, I think it's also a blessing too when you go like later in the draft, especially in the first round, you're going to the better teams, the teams that have history of winning, and you know they're picking later in the first round for a reason. It's because they're good. So I was glad I went to the back end of the first round instead of the top, because you're going to a better organization.
Well, I will say this. I think the obviously it sucked that you had to go through it, but I'm very glad you broke your hamate bone. So I just it was a blessing for us as well. But draft night,
it's funny too, because the whole process, Jack kept just saying like, I think people are scared of the hamate bone. He's like, I don't get it. I can't believe it. People are just ignoring everything else, looking at the hamate bone. This is great.
Hey, I didn't get it either.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, you know, you go 27, obviously, I think you should have been like the 12 to 18 range, but whatever. You go 27, as you are perceived falling, are you using that as motivation, or did you look at it as, you know, like I end up going to a better organization, or like, is it a chip on your shoulder or something like, I'm just happy to be here?
Yeah, 100%. Also, another thing is, too, is I can't really blame any of the scouts because they couldn't see me play. So, you know, the draft is so model based, and me being 19 as well was a lot of red flags. But no, I definitely use that as motivation now. And looking back, I think in 5 or 6 years from now, I think people are going to be wondering why I went so late in the first round.
Yeah, I think people are already wondering that, man. I mean, like, just look at the prospect list. I want to go kind of back to something you were talking about before when you're talking about being a gamer and you love this spotlight. And are you that kind of player who, you know, you want to get up in the ninth with runners on and you're down? Jack knows that he's going to laugh at me, but I'm a big, like, I've always talked about guys' heartbeats, like, slower in the moment. Like, for years, I've been like, you know, some dudes that when they get in that moment, their heart just beats slower. They're more calm. They're more confident. And they're going to be more likely to come through in those spots. Is that something you've always craved? And is that kind of how you feel in those moments?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I think there was a good quote from John Jones. He said, you know, when you're in those moments and your heart's beating faster and the pressure might be getting to you, I think that's when you're most powerful. And it's so true. And I think some people just have a knack for that. And, you know, if there's a bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, down by three, like, I want to be up in that situation. I want to be the guy hitting. And I just think it's so fun. You know, that's what sports and baseball is all about, is those situations. And I just think those moments are awesome and so fun.
Well, so I'm happy you said that, because you might not know this, but there is a level of pressure on you that is honestly unfair and really tough to live up to. I don't know if you know the history of being a Fritz guy and the real pressure to perform, the, you know, in the past times that Jack has, you know, potentially torpedoed careers, people have recovered, but, you know, what does it feel like to have the weight of being like right now, like the Fritz guy, much less a Fritz guy?
No, I'm honored. I try not to go on social media too much, especially during the season. But, you know, when I do, I always see Jack's tweets, and it's always showing love and being positive. And my dad,
very level headed. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. He's very rational. Yeah.
My dad's always like, did you see Jack's new tweet? My whole family's in on you now. They're all following
that's
you
great.
On social media. And
yeah.
No, I love it. It's just, you're showing support. And it means a lot to me, so I appreciate it.
Well, listen, man, the first thing I said was like, Aiden Miller rakes. What are we doing? Yep. At 27, it's a joke. So last year you went from Clearwater. I mean, when you left Clearwater, I'm pretty sure you led the league in doubles and total bases and all that. You know, you 19 year old, you might have been 20 at that point, but you were obviously first year playing minor league baseball. You jumped to Jersey Shore and you got off to a bit of a slow start before really picking it up and eventually moving your way to Reading. What do you think happened when you went from Clearwater to Jersey Shore and you might have started a little bit slow?
Yeah, I think all it was like my real first taste of failure. You know, my first taste of failure in baseball and just being out there on the field and not getting the results I wanted. It was tough for me for a little bit, and I was scuffling, you know, trying to do too much, trying to press a little bit, and ultimately try and change things when things didn't need to be changed. And, you know, I think it really started when I was up there in my first week or so. I had a lot of unlucky outs, you know, line outs and hard outs. And, you know, I kind of used the results as like, oh, I need to go early in the cages tomorrow or stay later and hit after the game. And that kind of led me down like a deeper path where I was struggling even more. And ultimately I got out of it, which is good, but
It snowballed on you a bit. It snowballed a little bit is the idea.
For sure, yeah. It was a typical baseball slump that I think I let get to a little bit more than I should have. And
yeah, it's like sometimes the ball's a beach ball and sometimes it's like a pebble, right? You know?
Oh, it was a pebble, yeah. but I'm glad it happened early in my career, because I think, you know, when it happens again, I'll be able to get out of it. And slumps are going to happen in baseball, and it's just how you get out of it. So,
yeah, well, it's a game of failure, you know, I mean,
it's
the best in the world. You know, these days you get 29, 30% of the time you get a hit. It's, Yeah, yep. It's as good as it gets. It's wild.
I feel like we have to update that, by the way, because
that's why I said 29-30. I said the best. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like we used to say like 33% of the time, whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, listen, if you walk a good amount, you know, it's what you got to factor into the new, you're a Hall of Famer if you're right. walking at 350 OBP kind of clip. But one of the guys that you obviously played with at Jersey Shore and then up in Reading is Justin Crawford. What's it been like kind of getting to know him? Obviously drafted a year before you. And have you guys kind of talked about, you know, living out the dream and you two being part of the future up in Philadelphia?
Yeah, he's a stud. I love playing with Justin, and I think he's a big leader playing minor league baseball right now. Everything about him, just how he goes about his business and his work off the field, and it's really fun to watch. Everything he does is to get him to the next level, and you know, his dad being Carl Crawford obviously helps a little bit, but I'm always asking him questions about the process, and you know, just I feel like I bug him a lot asking him so many questions, but he's been a great help to me, and he's a great friend to me as well. And he's had such a great he had such a great year, and it's fun watching him play.
Well, and you guys also went out to the Futures game together, which is crazy. You know, that's a huge stage. You guys are at the All-Star game. Kind of, what was the Futures game experience like for you?
That was really cool. It felt like we were big leaguers for 3 days, from the food to the hotel, the locker room, everything about it, our coaching staff. It was just such a cool experience, and I was glad my whole family came out to watch me as well, and I was honored. You know, that was one of my goals going into the season, was to make the Futures game, and I'm glad it happened in my first year, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real honor, especially in your first year at your age. Like, that's a really, really neat thing. Aiden, Philadelphia, you know, we talked a little bit about Red October and the fans, but I know you're not here yet, but, you know, with, you know, that being the goal and the track you're on to be playing in the city, what do you know about the city? What are your expectations of the city? Have you thought at all about, like, living in the city and being a part of Philadelphia?
Yeah, all I needed to see was when you guys brought out 2,000 people to Wilmington for a minor league baseball game. I think it was also the first ever minor league baseball roll call.
Yes.
In history. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Just seeing all that. I mean, there's just so much support and so much love for the baseball team in Philly, and I just can't wait. You know, I was going to go to a playoff game if they made it to the World Series and experience what it was like, but you know, hopefully next year I get to be on the field to experience it. So,
well, real quick with the Wilmington thing before we move on, what was that like for you? You said, you know, the first, what was it like to get a roll call in a, you know, a single leg game? I agree with you. I've never heard of that, but was and Justin too? Like, did you guys talk about that too? What was that experience like? You know,
that was so cool. Yeah, something funny that happened too is I think I started off 0-for-2, 0-for-3, and I was going on deck for my fourth at bat, and I heard one of the fans were there, like, "Oh, we're gonna trade you now!" Like,
oh, nice.
And then
that was not me.
You beat me. I was gonna be like, "That was actually Jack."
Yeah, I was right there. Yep.
And then I think I had an RBI single, and it came back.
You did. We remember it well. We remember it well.
Came back for my fifth at bat, and they're like, "We're not trading you anymore. We love you." And I was just like, "Oh, this is awesome. That's what it's all about." So
that sounds about as Philadelphia as it gets, baby. Well, and what's so funny is I think I missed your first at bat because for some, again, it was the line to get into that stadium.
They weren't ready for it.
They weren't ready for it.
The line to get in the stadium, and also like the lines for like concessions and all that. Oh. It was insane because
I almost lost my father-in-law.
There were so many people there. Yeah, my wife was away for like an hour, and my daughter's like, "Where the hell's mom?" And I'm like, "I don't know."
Yeah. It was brutal. It was brutal, man. And I will say, I think it took you a little second. How long do we had a roll call for? You know, before Aiden gave us a little thumbs up.
It was good.
You know how embarrassed we were?
Figuring out what to do. You know, you see all the Yankees.
We're like, can he hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard you guys.
Do we need to be louder? That would have been a disaster. That would have been a disaster. But one thing I'm curious about, you know, obviously you seem like a pretty goal driven guy. You know, you set big goals. What's your main goal in 2025? And what are you kind of working on this offseason to get even better in this upcoming year?
Yeah, I think my biggest goal in 25 is to eventually make it to the big leagues. And, you know, I think my goals are pretty high. And if your goals aren't, then I don't think they're big enough. So something I'm working on is really my whole all-around game, but especially my defense. I want to prove that I can stick on the left side of the infield and, you know, clean up little things here and there. And but really the all-around game, I think it's just getting more experience out in the field, just getting more reps and, you know, eventually getting more comfortable with the whole thing. And I think, you know, once that happens and I realize that I belong there, then it's going to be fun.
You just led into what I was going to ask about sticking on the left side of the infield. Have you thought a lot about, you know, first and foremost, to the point of I want to get to the big leagues quick. Obviously, it's going to take versatility. You're going to be able to fit in where you need to and all that type of stuff. How comfortable do you feel playing third, playing other positions? Do you think you plan, you know, is the goal to stay at short long term? Like, how much have you thought about being versatile as you know, defensively and, you know, like you said, your goal of wanting to stay on the left side?
Yeah, I think I've been pretty versatile my whole life. I've kind of been a utility guy for all the teams I've played on. I played third base in high school. I played right field for Team USA, right and left field, played a little bit of center field. So I think I can play anywhere, and I feel pretty comfortable everywhere out on the diamond. And
I love this.
Yeah, I think it's super important nowadays. You know, it's so valuable to have a guy that can play everywhere and get comfortable doing that. And, you know, I want to be that guy, and I think I've always been that guy.
That's awesome.
So – obviously you grew up in Florida and, you know, you would think you don't have a real connection to the city of Philadelphia, but you grew up right around the corner essentially from Bay Carroll Ballpark. How weird was it going there as a kid? I'm sure you went to some spring training games and then having to, you know, start your whole minor league career at the ballpark you kind of grew up going to.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. You know, when I heard my name on draft night, and I was going to Philly and realizing that spring training was going to be right in my backyard, it was pretty cool. And I've been trying to find the picture for the longest time, but when I went to Bay Care way back then, I ran out on the field. I think it was with Utley, but it was when Howard, wow, Utley, all those guys were there. I took the field with them for the national anthem, you know how all the kids do.
Yep.
And there's a picture out there somewhere. I got to find it. But no, I mean, growing up, going to games at Bay Care, watching Philly spring training, going to some Threshers games as well, and it was pretty surreal, and I couldn't really believe it for a while.
Well, and you got to stay at home, too. You were able to just, like...
Yeah, what a thrill that is.
Yeah,
like, you just said money. He has to start doing laundry now, you know?
Home-cooked meals, sleeping
well. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, you did take advantage of that stuff as long as you can. It's never, never a bad thing. All right, and thank you so much for taking the time and obviously giving us a bunch of time, especially on a football Sunday, which we'll get to in a minute. Let's do a little rapid fire kind of quick hitters to finish out here at the end to get to know you a little bit outside of baseball too. You know, what do you like to do for fun outside of baseball? What are your hobbies? Are you a movie guy? Are you a music guy? Like, what are you into outside of baseball?
Man, it's going to sound boring, but it's really just baseball. Like,
my man,
I'm working out. I'm hitting in the cages. It's really all I've done since I was a little kid. And, you know, I want to be the best so bad that, you know, I feel like I really haven't had time to do much else. So, but I love it. You know, I think if you love it, then you're in a good spot. So, I mean, I watch movies here and there, watching Breaking Bad. It's one of my
shows. There you go. There you go.
You know, when it's wind down time, I can, you know, sit back for a little bit, but it's really just baseball.
That's great.
Who's your favorite non-baseball sports team?
Packers.
There we go. I'm glad you said that.
So, you have to answer this honestly because we don't lie to our listeners. Mm-mm. Jordan,
that's one of our ethoses here. We do not lie to the IOPS listeners.
Yeah, I'm a rule. Packers fan too.
There
you go. Good.
Yeah. Well, in Philadelphia, we're very realistic about it.
Yeah. That's all we are. Yeah. Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts?
So are we starting the team and we get to pick one?
It's okay. There's only one right answer. It's okay.
Jack and I disagree on this. You might find the Jag is on your side of the coin here. Here's what I'll say. When we just asked Aiden, what do you like to do for fun, hobbies, whatever, he's like, this is going to sound boring, but baseball, you know who that reminds me of? Jalen Hurts.
He's a winner.
Cares about is football. Now, Jordan Love's good too.
I gotta go with Love.
Yes.
Me and my brother Love. Yeah. We love watching him play, and
yeah,
he's
love
great.
Rodgers. So like he flashes so many signs of Rodgers. Some of his throws, and he throws a lot of picks. But like I think he makes up for it with all his good throws. So
Totally agree.
It's closer. Yeah. It's closer than a lot of people think. Hurts has done more. He's accomplished more. But I think Love is right behind him. So
we'll get you on WIP one of these days to break it down. We'll break it down.
By the time he's in the majors, he'll be like, oh, Jalen, that's my
obviously
dude.
Obviously, Jalen. Yeah.
It'll be good. What's your favorite meal?
It's got to be some kind of burrito, like Chipotle. Sure. I have a good taco spot near my house called Zimzari. I get some chicken tacos. I love Mexican food, so
yeah,
something me too. With that.
It's the best. Now, when he came to Philly, did they make you go get a cheesesteak? Did you have a Philly cheesesteak? Was it as hyped up to be?
We had Angelo's two or three times. And it was,
oh, that's a good one. That's great. It
jacked me up for like 2 or 3 weeks after.
For sure.
Yeah. You're not used to it like us. Yeah. No, they are great. So who's going back to your baseball is everything. Who was your favorite player growing up? And were there any players you kind of model your game after or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm a big Longo guy. Evan Longo. So
yeah,
I followed him.
We beat him in the World Series in 08. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. No, but I remember like waiting outside the field after he'd Rays games and waiting for his autograph and just like trying to be like him. And, you know, I started playing third base because of him. And
that's cool.
I love following him. I think he's such a great guy too. And he's a great,
he seems like a really good dude. Yeah. Yeah. It's always nice.
I wish the D-backs won last year after they beat the Phillies, so he'd get a ring, but it was good to see them lose too after beating us.
Yeah. Awesome. That was a cool resurgence for him though. You know, he came through for them a lot too.
Sure. Unbelievably smooth right-handed swing. Just an unbelievably smooth right-handed.
And he was a great defensive player too. He's a great fielder too. I mean, number one pick in the draft. Like he was a dude, man.
He's one of the most underrated guys, I think, of that.
Yeah.
Of that time, so.
And he was good right away too. Like as a young came up, bang, you know? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of movements on this show. I'd like to say that we are responsible for hiring Brian Barber. We forced the Phillies to do that. We forced the Phillies to sign
Bryce Harper. I mean, I love how he leads with Barber and Mattingly, who we love. We brought Bryce Harper to Philly. No big deal.
Sure. No big deal. We love Preston Mattingly.
We love Brian Barber and Preston Mattingly more than Bryce Harper. Just don't tell Bryce that. You know?
One word to describe Preston Mattingly.
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, I would say grinder. He is just like, he's always around at the facility checking on us. He was always at our games this year. He's just always involved and asking questions, you know, asking how we're doing. And he's just the man. I'm lucky to have him as our guy. And I love talking to him and I've learned so much from him. And yeah, he's awesome.
What's the best Phillies jersey? Is it the cream? Is the pinstripe? Is the road grays? City Connects? Maroon?
Pinstripe. Sure.
The clean pinstripe.
So, yeah, the pinstripes and the
powder blues.
The powder blues are fire.
Yeah,
I like
for
all
sure.
of them. I mean, they're all good. I don't like the City Connects. I'm out on those, but.
Yeah, well, listen, only the hat's great.
See, you're like a
great.
WIP caller. You're like right on point. You're ready to top right in here. Well, Aiden, I know we said it a bunch of times, but thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you mentioned it, but I hope you do know how much, like, certainly the podcast community, I hope all our listeners and Phillies fans are behind you and excited for you to look. We all want you up this year, too. So your goal is our goal. Don't be a stranger to this pod. Now that you've come on, you're a friend of the pod. We're going to have to, you know, keep bringing you on as it goes here. But, we're just psyched, man. And, we're really looking forward to your career and to having you here in the city. And, thanks for taking the time, man.
No, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. It's been fun chatting and, thank you again for all the support you guys show and all the love I see on Twitter. And it's really cool. And it means a lot to me.
Appreciate
awesome,
you, buddy.
Man. Yeah, go enjoy the Packers. You know, I think we could all root for them to beat the Lions today. We're on the same team. Yeah,
hopefully, I do enjoy it.
It'll work out hopefully for all of us. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, and good luck, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, Aiden.
Thanks, guys. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Aiden, for joining us. That was really, really neat. Really cool to get to talk to us. Obviously, very kind with his time. That was very cool. All right. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Burks off season 2.0. I'm bored edition. Obviously, the first move is signing Mike Soroka for two.
Lead with it.
2 years, $14 million. I got enough.
Did you up it? Since it wasn't a 1 year deal last time.
Yeah. Well,
you're locking it in. Well, you are getting Mike Soroka no matter what.
I'll bid it.
He hasn't even responded to the gun. You're like, I'll go over the top.
I'll bid against myself.
You are.
But. No,
in this case, you literally are.
No, like, I'm not.
In this case, you
are. He was on MLB Trade Rumors top free agents, and they had a signing projection for him for 2 years, $14 million.
So you had to go with it.
So I had to go with it. I had to up my offer. Okay. I had to up my offer. By the way, how about Nick Pivetta? How about that?
What, a 4 year six? Are you wait? He's part of your no.
I'm just saying that he got a qualifying offer.
Oh yeah,
$21 million.
Well, I know he's gonna get.
But I was told he sucked.
He's gonna get paid, man. I saw 4 for $60 as a guest for him. How about that?
Bring him home.
So I think Spot Track had 4 for $60 or something.
So
like that.
I was
something like that.
I was so ready to put Evaldi in my perfect offseason.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's a tradition unlike any other. Until I saw it was like a 3 year, $44 million deal or something. I was like, they're not gonna do that.
Nope.
They're not gonna spend that kind of money on a nope. fifth starter.
Nope.
Especially what if you do?
Andrew Painter. You
yes. Know? Yeah. But I do have a fifth starter.
Okay.
I'm curious
until Andy's ready.
Well, against Andrew,
I agree with you, but he's going by Andy, so we gotta fight about this.
So, and I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm signing.
Okay.
One of Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander to a 1 year deal.
I don't hate it at all.
I mean, Verlander definitely turning towards being Cook.
Yeah, I mean Scherzer has barely been healthy.
Yeah. You know, hanging on by a thread.
I would take Scherzer for you. Give me Max Scherzer for you.
Just 1 year.
I'm in.
It's 1 year.
I'm in.
$15 million.
And honestly, you really only need him for half a season.
Pinder exactly.
I love it.
Give me one of those guys.
I love it.
They're definitely done.
Give me old Two Eyes. Yeah. I'll take him.
And bring back Girardi. We can all talk about how Girardi, this was spider attack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can have Scherzer and Nola reminisce about that 2018 start.
Then when I was in Costa Rica. Yeah.
You could tell the story.
It'd be amazing. I just need one of those guys.
Normally I'd be out on this. I'm fully.
Thank you.
It's a great
idea. A nice little fifth starter.
Yeah. You've won me over very quickly on this.
Thank you. Thank you. Sign one of them. I'm making a trade.
Ooh.
I think this will be enough. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I assume it would be. I'm trading Dante Norrie,
mm-hmm.
Starlin Gaba. But
quick. You're turning on Dante quick. Just got here.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure Devin Saltabon.
This is a package right here. We better be getting something back.
And I guess if they want Mick Abel. I could see them wanting Mick Abel.
Poor Mick.
I know.
It's really fallen.
Poor Mick. Some people still believe.
But for what it's worth, Mick, to the conversation we had before about keeping the farm system, Mick is an example of should have traded guy.
Well,
you know, like they should have traded that guy when he had real value.
He's only 22 in AAA.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
You got to factor that in. Yeah. Maybe he's a late bloomer.
That's true.
To the Cardinals.
Is this for a third baseman?
No, it's for Ryan Helsley and Brendan Donovan.
Oh,
I need Brendan Donovan. I need Brendan
Helsley. I mean, you're getting a legit closer in that.
Like only 1 year though.
50 saves last year.
I know, only 1 year. So value might be down.
Brendan Donovan,
3 years of control.
Ooh,
I love Brendan Donovan. I love Brendan Donovan.
Okay. I thought you'd give me an Arenado trade. Right?
No, that's him. I might actually do.
I need one offseason with an Arenado trade. I was this close to putting it in mind.
I might do a perfect offseason of the moves Dave would make.
Yeah, it feels like a Dave
Arenado
move.
you know, Dave's walking in to the analytics department and
guys,
saying,
guys, guess what I can do?
I got an idea.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Fame third baseman.
We're imagine bring him in.
Imagine Schmidt, dude. Schmidt would be so happy.
Schmidt would lose.
Schmidt loves it.
It's like he's my guy. He's like me.
I would talk myself into Arenado so fast.
Me too. I think he's cooked, but I would definitely talk myself.
Now he's got
three years of
74 million.
So that was literally why he was not in my perfect deadline. I was like, oh, Arenado, if he's got like a year left, that'd be an interesting guy to fill in the gap. Dude. Then I looked at it. I was like, well, not doing that one.
None of these guys have a year left. I was looking at Springer as an idea. Doesn't have a year left.
Wow.
None of these guys have a year left. They all have at least three and super horrible money. So, but I think Taiwan would look great in a Cardinals uniform you want to flip around. Yeah,
Taiwan, you could just say Taiwan would look great in a blank uniform that is not the
Philly. Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. I heard he loves the Midwest.
I did too. They love pictures of food out there, I've heard. You know, if you take a picture of what you're going to eat, people would say that's his thing, right?
I don't know.
I feel like he's always posting pictures of food, Taiwan.
You seem like a big posting pictures of food guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's and all your social media craze.
You know me.
I'm signing Sixto Sanchez to a minor league deal.
Oh,
come on. Come on.
Bring him home.
I need him and Darnold in the same offseason, baby. Sixto, probably cooked, but just for the story.
For the story.
As on a minor league deal, let him see if there's anything there. Soroka and Sixto, same offseason.
Oh, buddy.
You talk about get excited.
2019 me is jacked up right now.
I'm signing one of Andrew Kittredge and Kirby Yates. Don't know which one. Don't care which one. I'll take both.
I'd rather have Kittredge, but they're close. They're same age, essentially. So.
Yeah.
35, 34.
Yeah. And then my second big trade.
Ooh, a double banger.
Yeah. I'm trading Boehm, Arun Escobar, who actually might be really good and is probably an irresponsible trade here. But I needed some other name that popped. Christian McGowan, who they might not be able to protect in the Rule 5, but that's good stuff.
Dustin's brother.
It is. This sure is. Oh,
I have no idea.
He's not. Not even close. But I'm trading him to the Giants for Lamont Wade.
Yes!
Yeah. And Boehm can play first.
Yes!
Yep. Had to do it.
Oh, we did it.
Had to do it.
Down. We're set.
Shut it down.
Series champions.
Don't even
Lamont
want Soto.
Wade standing in the front of the parade. Carrying the trophy because he's the World Series MVP.
Listen, his knees are that of a 50-year-old, but that's all right. He's only going to be playing left field.
Can I ask you a question? Do you need better knees than a 50-year-old to walk? I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Don't steal a base. No doubles.
He's just going to walk every time. People in Philly want walks right now.
Yes.
We want people who aren't going to chase. Guess what? We found your man.
By the way, Brendan Donovan, 6th lowest strikeout percentage in baseball last year.
See, you are. You're really, this is a targeted thing. And
yes.
I like this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Lamont Wade is an on-base percentage. He's the Euclid.
He's like Euclid.
The Greek god of walks.
Yeah, he is. Which is so funny because he's not Greek.
Regardless. Lamont Wade. And have no fear, Giants fans. He can play first. So I know you signed Matt Chapman to the big contract. But Boehm can play first. There you go.
Oh,
there you go. Yes. I'm looking out for you too.
That's nice because they're really in on the excitement of Matt Chapman being there for the next 6 years.
He's good.
He was great this year, but like, you know,
well, and
he's also had some down years. I don't know.
Dude, Boris screwed contract. The third base market. I mean, it seems like Bregman might get like 7,200, which is crazy.
What?
Because, yeah, dude, because of the
couldn't be
Chapman
more
deal.
On, couldn't be more out on that.
I mean, I'll take Breg on 130 and less. That's it. I'm not paying.
And also not 7 years. Like, I can't have Bregman at 38 or 39 hobbling around if there were Trey next to him. Like, are you kidding me? Or Trey in the outfield and Harper hobbling around at first. We are going to be the oldest team in the history of sports in a few years. It's going to be great.
Yep. And then I'm signing Travis Darno.
Because the one constant.
Yeah, yes.
We all right. We
option was declined for $8 million.
I saw that. Yep. We got to make a deal.
Yeah.
No matter how many of these you get up to, that has to be on everyone.
Well, Soroka and Travis Darno. Yeah,
they got to be on everyone. Like, I need them on everyone.
And Kittredge might as well be a part of it.
Why not? I love the guy.
Yeah. I can't tell what. So I'm not. The biggest problem with that team would be there's no like obvious thumper.
None. It's like you're really relying on like Harper and Castellanos did some home runs.
We are a gap to gap team.
Well, it's funny to get rid of Boehm and not get any power forward.
Well, it's so funny. What's so funny? I was thinking about this last night as I was putting it together. I said to myself, I need Brandon Donovan. I love Brandon Donovan. And he would be my everyday third baseman. He hit 14 home runs last year. I'm getting rid of a guy who hit 14 home runs last year, but I'm ready to get rid of that guy.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great point.
But Brendan Donovan,
a really good point. Yeah.
Switch hitter, though. Switch
hitter.
So, better defender. And he can play left field and he can play second base. And he's just very versatile. Now, I think the lineup.
He's not a crybaby, which helps.
I think the lineup would have to be because I need some thump in the middle of the lineup. It would have to be Lamont Wade leadoff.
What? This is a slap hitty lineup.
Oh my God. Yeah. We're getting on base.
Spraying it all over the field.
We're gap to gap. You got to factor in CBP where you get some kind of home run bump.
Yeah.
But I think the lineup would go Lamont Wade, Bryce, Trey, Schwarber, Castellanos, Stott, JT Marsh, Brandon Donovan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got.
It's a lineup.
Thank you.
It's a major league.
You know what they're going to do, James? You know what they're going to do? Besides
get on base.
Besides the third hitter in the lineup and the fifth hitter in the lineup.
Not going to chase.
They're not going to chase.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's all I care about.
See, at least John cares about it too.
Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, Ranger, Painter, Verlander.
Come in on that.
Come on, man. Dream with me on 40-year-old Justin Verlander.
I'll say it again. Some of that is we have guys who chase too much and they have to stop. They just have to become more disciplined.
Dude,
it's not enough to say, well, look, this is just the way the person is. The person has to change.
You know, he was fuming.
Oh, he's
watching them chase.
Furious.
Do you think he agreed with Dombrowski saying that they were actually lower than the national chase rate and that they were sixth in baseball in not
good
chasing?
Thing Dave was already talked to those three people that morning.
Yeah, dude. I'm sure he was not thrilled.
Oh, I can get Matt Klentak back here right now.
Yeah, you want me to bring back Klentak? He's very available. I only have like two things real quick.
You still have more
in the
more stuff?
In the mailbag?
Poor Tucker.
Tucker's
look at his face.
Tucker thought it was going to be a 5-minute podcast.
You told me it was.
Did the article happen, Tucker? The article happened. And Scott Kingery got traded. Yeah. All right?
Okay.
We have to break down the Kingery trade.
Do we?
They needed more money for Soto. They needed more money for
That's
Soto.
Exactly what it was. You're right.
Yes.
Every dollar counts.
This $50,000 we're getting back.
Every dollar counts.
Yep. So I'm rooting for Kingery.
That's the best thing I've heard on
Thank
this.
You. Turner and Bone for Trout and Rendon. Turner and Bone for Trout and Rendon.
You know that's not good. That's the won't save us money, sadly. It'll cost us money.
We had to bring in new owners because of the Kingery deal. And then the only final thing I meant to bring up about Soto, we have to factor in that he's going to have opt-outs. So it's really a 3-year,
$150
million contract.
No one's going to do the Bryce thing.
So
what a great point.
So he's going to sign.
It's a really good call.
He's going to opt out.
The heart of his best prime. And then,
And then he walks. If you want.
Is a great
Thank you.
So, yeah, I didn't even think about it.
So, Look John, this is strictly for John Middleton. Just give him a 3-year, $150 million deal. That's $50 million a year.
Yeah.
And then, let him opt out. You can extend it as long as you want. He's going to opt out. There's no doubt about it. He's a Boris client, cares about money, all that stuff. There's a 0% chance that he's signing a 15-year, $650 million deal and playing the entire thing through without some kind of opt out. And if I'm Juan Soto, this is for Juan Soto. Hey,
also a big
Don't you want to play with your friends for 3 years?
Yeah.
And then you can go back to New York.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get
the world's your oyster.
Get reunited with Bryce and Turner and Schwarber and Kevin Long.
Before they're all too old for you to play anymore.
Yeah, before it's over.
It's great.
Come on, Juan.
Come on, Juan.
You're going to opt out.
Do it, Juan.
Come on.
I believe in you, Juan.
Yeah.
This is great.
Thank you.
You did great today.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, this was a hell of a 5-minute pod. I thought it was great. Tucker,
I got one more thing.
Can't wait.
Tucker's like me. I'm like chilling.
I have to go nap.
There it is. All right. Next week, I'm sure we'll be back next week. We had something to talk about. Perfect off season
3.0. Yeah. What trades can we make?
Yeah.
Next?
Can't wait to find that out.
Only
sure Tucker will think it's a 10-minute pod, probably an hour pod. We'll make it work. It'll be good. We'll keep the bit going.
There's gonna be no power hitters.
Yeah.
Only guys that get on base.
Who knows? Maybe a move will happen. Because it's open. Things can happen.
I see, honestly, just give me rumors.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Look, just give us more than last offseason, all right? We can't be doing, this is boring.
Me not focus on whatever I have to do for work.
So
I just want to focus. I just want to talk about the Phillies.
Okay. So with that in mind, go focus on your work. We'll be back next week. Until then, he's hurt himself.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.